Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about anything, including but not limited to Dungeons & Dragons. So, our co-host, Kano, won't be on for another 30 to 45 minutes. He's busy working with fracking the planet, putting holes in it, and shaking us all up. Going to crack this continent we live in right in half, three different ways. But, Actually, since he's in the industry and up close to it, few insights we've gotten from that is we're not entirely sure that that's that particular theory of global catastrophe is correct. I do know that raising and lowering water tables has done things like cause the Leaning Tower of Pisa to lean even more, but and maybe it does cause earthquakes. There is a series of minor earthquakes that happens on a regular basis along a fault line that I tracked. It's not documented, but there is a whole series of 2.4 to 3.1, somewhere around there, earthquakes that occur that go in a nice, gentle, curving arc from New York all the way out to Northern California, and in its arcing path, it passes just south of the Missouri Missouri-Arkansas border, passes through the boot heel, almost at a right angle to a known fault line, namely the one that runs underneath the Mississippi, known as the New Madrid. All right. And then there's another one up north that I tracked at the same time. At the time I stopped tracking it, it stopped someplace. It started out in New York and went through, Indiana and ended someplace south of Wisconsin and Minnesota. But who knows? It may go further now. Or maybe it's something that's always there, and I didn't know it until I started tracking it. So, but all the same, it's not something that's documented as far as I know. Maybe they document it now, but it's something I observe. You can observe it too. There's plenty of apps out there that allow you to see what tremors have occurred around the world even. And whenever they happen, put a pin on Google Maps. On this day, this point was an epicenter for 2.4 on the Richter scale. And that's nothing. 2.4, 3.1, that's minor. But, if it was common, if it happened everywhere, I wouldn't say it was a fault line, but it happens along these lines, and so it's got to be some sort of fault line. Now, is it heavy activity? No, but it's frequent. It happens a lot. Okay, you can't hardly go a month without something happening on it, and it's usually a couple of times a week that something happens along that line. So over a period of about a year and a half, I was able to put little pins on the map saying, oh, yeah, there was one here, there's one here, there's one here. Hey, look at this. They all line up. So, and it seems that the one that passes south of Arkansas is activated by whatever's happening in and near Oklahoma City. And so I tend to believe My working theory is it has something to do with the fracking that's going on there. Now, exactly how the fracking is affecting it, you know, are they blowing nuclear bombs up in order to drill the holes? I don't think so. You know, but, you know, what's going on that, you know, where's the correlation? Where's the exact correlation? You know, and it's real easy to spout off, well, it's got to be this, it's got to be that, it's got to be the other. It's like, well, you know, maybe. It's a theory. All right. But go test it. Go verify that indeed that's what's going on. Conduct some tests. Do some experiments. Observe more data. Do some research. Find out. All right? Don't just see a couple of things, listen to somebody else say it must be this, and say, yeah, it must be this. You know, don't just go off of your emotional whatever. You know, my theory is it has to do with fracking. Talking to my friend Kano, who works in that industry, it's put a little bit of doubt in my mind that it's fracking. Maybe it's not fracking, but still there's this correlation. And, you know, up north, that other line, it's centered on what's going on up north in, you know, involving fracking. So there's two lines that are undocumented, you know, by the official scientific community as being fault lines, but clearly there's some sort of fault line because there's constant little tremors, and they are very little. I mean, quite frankly, I'm not sure, but I think a 3.1 earthquake is so small that you could be sitting right on top of it and you might not notice. You might think that the kids were just a little bit too rambunctious in the living room. Okay? You know, maybe. Might not even come up to that level. I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up and verify that. But that's, you know, but, you know, if you could say, well, it's minor and it happens every place and blah, 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 well, then it wouldn't have fallen on a line. It would have been scattered. Right? It would have been, you know, like a shotgun effect. But these all pretty much occurred on a definite line. So, unless I'm wrong, that indicates, you know, that there's some sort of fault line going on. There's a crack. Like, well, okay. There can be a crack. All righty. So as we speak, I'm playing this game, Mabinugi. Kano plays Mysteria Legacy. I'm sure he'd like me to play Mysteria Legacy. And some of our friends who used to play Red Towers. Oh, my God, I forgot the name of the game. Shame on me. It's a wonderful game. It's gone defunct. The company dropped it. Red Tower so far is the closest parallel to it. But it's kind of dead in the water. They took the servers down for a while, and a lot of people just walked away. It was still in beta mode. Anyway, I had discovered this game, and I showed it to Kano, and he got thoroughly hooked on it, and it's, you know, it died on us within about 6 months. Kano had actually played it earlier and forgotten about it because when he first played it, it was really raw and sucked. They were using smiley faces for characters, which be kind of cool to a degree, but, you know, that's the way it was. All right. By the time we found it, they had little smiley faces with teeny tiny stick bodies attached to them. So That was an improvement. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yawn. That was an improvement. And, wow, I can't believe I can't remember the name of that game. something kingdom. Parallel Kingdom. There we go. PK. Anyway, so Red Towers is the closest to it. But a lot of the people who are playing Parallel Kingdoms, they have flocked over to, a lot of the people we knew have flocked over to this game called Mysteria Legacy. I don't know. For me, it kind of bores me. Kano's pretty active in it. He keeps wanting to drop away from it, and then he starts playing it again, and he wants to drop away from it, and he starts playing it again. So, I don't know. It's kind of a social outlet. People we met in Parallel Kingdom have flocked over to it, and so that's why he's stuck in it, I guess. And I just can't bring myself to play it. I've tried. I'm sure that if he ever took an honest look at Mabinugi, he wouldn't be able to bring himself to play it either. There's another game that you can play on the phone that's similar to Mabinugi, but not quite. It's Iruna. And that'd be I-R-U-N-A. You can find it on Google Play. And I actually have a character on there. Every once in a while I fire it up and take a look at her and go kill a couple more blue blobs and then log off. My character's down in a dungeon. She's been down there forever. When I log in, she's still there. The blue blobs are still there. They're not strong enough to kill her. So I just keep killing them, get a few more pink ribbons and some points and whatever, and that's about it. At some point, I might fire it up. If Kano says, hey, he likes that game, I might hop on it instead of Mabinugi. And I could walk away from Mabinugi for 3 months or so. They give you fabulous prizes for coming back after 3 months. So so why not? yeah. All right, so I'm monologuing, so we're in trouble. I did take some show notes. I put them up on this site called Discord. The web address for Discord is discordapp.com. That's discordapp.com. All right. Now, if you get on there, search for David, David, and David. There's a comma between the first two Davids and an ampersand between the second pair of Davids. And, yeah, there's only three Davids in that, but, you know, anyway. The first gap has a comma, the second gap has an ampersand, and there's no spaces anywhere. Just that punctuation. And hopefully you can find it. I guess ask for an invite or whatever, and I will... my character, my name on there is David Ray, and I suppose I should replace the picture with my actual face instead of my Mabinugi character. I've got 8 of them, and that's just one of them. Anyway, but I post stuff on there, and that's basically my show notes, things I want to talk about and such. Kano has something he wants to talk about. It looks pretty exciting. But we'll leave that for him to hop on when he gets here in about a half an hour, maybe. 15 minutes to half an hour based on what he texted me earlier. Anyway, so I was trying to watch the new Christopher Robin trailer. Apparently they're doing a new Winnie the Pooh. And from what I've seen in the trailer so far, it's sort of like when they had Robin Williams do Peter Pan. Robin Williams was the all-grown-up Peter Pan, and he'd forgotten who he was, who and what he was. He didn't remember being Peter Pan. He just grew up and left Never Never Land. And so in this one, Christopher Robin grew up, businessman, very busy. His boss needs him. He'd promised his family he'd go out with him, and he didn't know what to do. And so he's sitting out in his backyard, and he's going, what to do, what to do, what to do? And Winnie the Pooh comes up to behind him and says, what to do indeed? And so Christopher Robin kind of freaks out a bit and is like, Winnie the Pooh, what are you doing here? And the tree, I don't remember the tree being here. He's like, that's pretty cool anyway. You should at least watch the trailer. When the movie becomes available, I'll make a point of seeing it. So anyway, I posted that up on the David Discord channel. And yeah. Anyway. So you can go take a look at that. A friend told me that Apostle Paul said something about obeying man's law for conscience and for conscience's sake and for convenience. And so I've been trying to search to find that in Scripture. And, you know, of course, I hopped on the net and did an internet search. Did on several search engines and didn't find that specifically, but that could be because I'm just not typing in the right words. All right. But in the process, I ran across this thing, earlychurchofjesus.org. All right. And I'd like to go through it, but they had a little subsection, False Paul. So apparently, and I haven't been able to confirm this, but apparently Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States, you know, and I'll have to verify even that, because quite frankly, I don't remember. I know he's one of those important men, but I don't remember if he's the third, second, fourth, whatever. I know he wasn't supposedly the first, but then again, I've also know that George Washington was not exactly the first either, all right? But he was the first one after we supposedly broke away from England. And, yeah, I said supposedly broke away from England. Anyway, that's another subject, another rabbit hole altogether. Anyway, so I ran across this, and supposedly this group is posting Thomas Jefferson's writings and arguments concerning Apostle Paul, and claiming that Apostle Paul is a false prophet, a false apostle. He preached against, he contradicted both God's and Jesus' word, and that's a curious thing. And I'm going to go through it, and whether Thomas Jefferson said it or not, if the arguments prove to be valid, they're valid, and if they prove to be false, well, you know, we're commanded by Christ at all times to be able to defend our faith. And that doesn't mean that you beat up the guy who disagrees with you. It means that you give a reason for your faith. Something logical, not emotional, not, well, I just know that Jesus loves me. And so I'm going to follow him to my dying days. And it's like, well, that's fine. It really is fine. But that's not defending your faith. that's an emotional, you know, move. And you may be moved by the Spirit that way. That's fine. But, you know, how do you know Jesus loves you? Well, I just feel it. Well, that's, you know, again, that's fine, but that's not really much of an argument, because you can just feel all sorts of things. I mean, there's people who go to rock concerts and they get a healing from their their disease that's killing them. You know, just off of the raw energy floating around a rock concert. It could be, you know, it could be Black Sabbath, you know, which is as far away from Christ as you can get, as far as I can tell. anyway, but you know, there's been people who've been healed at such events. It doesn't prove that that's right. You know, that's the way to go. I'd want to look into it and see what's going on, but, you know, it doesn't prove that it's right. And so saying that I just know Jesus loves me because I can feel it, well, you know, there's lots of Nigerian social sects of Buddhism that they chant all day and they can feel the Spirit too. Are they right? I don't know. Are they wrong? I don't know either. But it doesn't prove that they're right. You know, just because they feel something, right? It does indicate that they're on the right track with something, maybe. You know, you have to investigate. You have to look at it. You know, check it out. Think for yourself. Don't outsource your thinking. You know, don't assume just because somebody else is doing it, it's the right thing, you know. They'll have you fall in the majority. And well, we are, you know, if you believe Scripture, you know, the majority are off to heading off to hell. Assuming Scripture is correct. Anyway, well, that's it. So one of these things that was written on there, I cut and pasted it because my first reading through it kind of made my head spin. And I'm going to read through it again and see if it makes my head spin again. Okay, and this was posted on that website, earlychurchofjesus.org, and it was under /FaulsePaulHTM, and there's an underscore between Faults and Paul. All right. So here's the quote, and it's just a small section of it, but this kind of made my head spin. The reason we don't obey Paul's epistles, because his word contradicts God and Jesus' word. Are we permitted to choose the peaceful commandments of God without the violent ones? Well, we are obeying God's word, which commands us to be peaceful. We are not sorting passages from the Bible that correspond to our lifestyles. We are obeying God's word, which commands us to be righteous and peaceful. If we obey the violent commandments that are in the Torah, we become violent and transgressors. Okay. Now, in the beginning, that it talks about, you know, we don't choose between one set of commandments and another, that there's some peaceful commandments and there's some violent ones. You know, if there's a peaceful commandment that we're supposed to follow because, you know, we're supposed to follow God, assuming we're supposed to follow God, all right, if we're supposed to follow God, and God gives us some peaceful commands, it's fine. We follow those. If he gives us some violent commandments, well, if we're supposed to follow God, then we should follow those too. All right? And they're saying we don't, you know, as I read this, we're not supposed to be picking and choosing among which commandments we'll follow and which ones we won't. Okay? Now, I do have a little bit of a problem with that. I think you're responsible for your actions You're supposed to follow as the Holy Spirit leads you, but you should be careful and discern if the Holy Spirit that's leading you really is a Holy Spirit, right? Okay, and, you know, so basically, you know, I feel you should follow God's law. But again, that's I feel, okay? All right. You know, so the first part is saying don't pick and choose, just follow what you're told, basically, okay? And then at the end it says if you're good if you follow the peaceful ones, and you're unrighteous if you follow the violent commandments that are in the Torah. It's like, well, but the Torah is supposed to be God's word, and if we're not supposed to pick and choose between which of God's words we're following, then how are we violent transgressors if we're following God's word? And that's kind of what made my head spin, because, you know, it's like the logic of the person who wrote that is questionable. I'd have to sit down with them and have them explain it, or somebody who could speak on their behalf explain that in a way that made sense to me. And as it stands, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. So maybe it's just that person didn't express themselves well. Maybe they understand the concept, but they didn't express themselves well, or what, I don't know. But as it stands, it's wanting. All right. And that's where I'm getting at. You know, you need to be able to defend your faith. Ah, Kino stepping in. You know, you got to basically be able to demonstrate that you can think for yourself and figure these things out. And, you know, yeah, I think God will put his hand on your shoulder and guide you. I don't think we're capable of figuring out all of these things on our own, but I do feel that from time to time God will put his hand on our shoulder and say, hey, look, you know, you're searching, you know, look this way, you know, and such. And so, you know, I ran across this Thomas Jefferson thing, and I may or may not agree with it. If indeed Thomas Jefferson wrote that paragraph, I would be questioning him left and right on it. It's like, well, you know, what do you mean we don't get to pick and choose, and yet you, in the end, you're saying we still have to pick and choose? I don't know. What do you think, Kano?
Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com.
Yeah, so now that you hear, what's going on with Mysteria Legacy that I just can't bring myself to play?
Well, we talk about everything, including but not limited to Mysteria Legacy, PK Red Towers, and Dungeons and Dragons.
Can you believe I couldn't remember the name of Parallel Kingdoms?
PK.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the name. All I could remember is Red Towers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the name. I couldn't remember where we
met. It's only the best game ever.
Yeah, it was. It was the best game ever.
Yeah, hopefully the people that bought it, revamping and relaunching.
Has it been bought?
It has.
Oh, cool.
From what I heard, but I don't know. It's all hearsay evidence.
Could you attempt to get some backup on that? Some,
if I have time. And remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got so much going on. I've been working almost 48 hours straight.
Holy shit.
I am.
So you might not be here.
Tired.
You might not be here tomorrow.
I may be sleeping through it. It's all depends. I may be working. I mean, it's like feast or famine. That's what they call it. I'm like,
yeah,
it's either rest or no rest. That's what I call it.
Well, that's feast or famine. Yeah. It's
yeah.
Like, you know,
I know.
When the crops are in, you work and you work and you work until you drop. And then you get up
again,
work and you work and you work until you drop. And then when it's no longer there to be harvested, you rest.
Right. You know. And save back for the famine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why you harvest and harvest and harvest when it's available. And like our friend Bill says, you plant when you can plant. It doesn't matter whether it's grow well prepared. It doesn't matter whether the weather is inappropriate. You plant when you can plant. And it was actually pretty smart of me to start putting in the sweet potatoes, even though there was a big chance of frost. So, you know, I got a good 2-week head start with those, and I still haven't got them all in. So.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Well, main reason I don't have them all in is because I'm waiting for new shoots to be produced.
Right.
You know, but I'm to the point now I can move back to the farm, so I'm starting to pack myself up. So, talking of which, I should probably call you after the program to discuss truck usage.
What situation?
Truck usage.
Oh.
Because don't have the insurance card here. And
oh, yes, right.
Yes, it goes against my morals to have an insurance card, but it also goes against my morals to use somebody else's vehicle in a way that makes them excessively uncomfortable. I mean, you know, they have to be within, you know, their comfort.
Well, basically, it's a farm truck, so farm-related issues.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and you got to feed yourself, you know.
One of the things I'd like to do with it is...
I should say work-related issues, you know, minus
one of the things I
want to
do with it is get both those trailers up and running and park them over at Hammond's in September. And
right.
Basically have them call me every time it's full of walnut hulls, and I'll come and haul one of them away. I'll haul one away and drop the other one off. And just go back and forth and just make sure the tires are strong enough they can handle that. I can use the back roads to go in and out so the cops aren't likely to bug me. And, you know, since it's going to be a registered vehicle in Kansas, they really can't say anything about me hauling a untagged trailer.
Right.
Because it's, you know, if the vehicle is from Kansas, then the trailers more than likely are from Kansas also. So bite.
Right.
You know, anyway. But, you know, I want to do that. I want to get the walnut hull and put those nutrients into our ground. That's another rabbit hole we could probably discuss later. The chemical jugulin, I think it's called. It's a hormone released by walnut trees that
hormones.
Yeah, prevent other plants from growing around them. But I've been doing some research lately that indicates that you just need to be selective what plants you grow with it. Because there are things that'll grow with it, no problem. And,
sure.
And as for the hulls, the chemical itself, and I'm going down the rabbit hole anyway, the chemical itself evaporates in a very short period of time. In other words, for that chemical to be active in the soil, there has to be a live plant exuding it constantly. But if you were to take the leaves and the stems and grind them up and make mulch out of them and put them on the ground and let them compost for a little bit, basically, as soon as the hulls turn black, the chemical's gone.
Back in black.
While they're still green, it may be there. But once they've turned black, it's pretty much gone. You can turn around and grow tomatoes in that stuff if it isn't too hot for them. So it's great compost material. It's be high in iodine.
Yeah, we need that for our thyroid.
For our thyroid and to prevent goiter.
Prevent what?
Iodine. Goiter. That's where you get that big Adam's apple.
Oh, yeah.
Which I assume is because your thyroid is expanding because it's malnutritioned. Lack of iodine.
Yeah, I've always had a thyroid problem my entire life, or it's just normal.
Well, here in America, it's normal to have a thyroid problem. It's not normal to have a big thyroid problem, but it's normal to have a thyroid problem because here in the United States, the soil tends to be depleted of iodine. Well, guess what? Walnut trees reach into the soil and they seek out iodine and they put it into their fruits, namely the nuts.
Right.
And they put a lot of it into those walnut hulls, and they deposit it on the ground. That brings iodine to the surface and drops it to the surface in an organic format that other plants can readily take up.
What about eating the walnut?
The walnut hulls? Oh, they taste horrible.
No, just the regular walnut. So they got iodine in them?
I assume so, but it should be tested. You specifically, take your walnuts and test them. And quite frankly, if the tree can't get to any iodine, there won't be any iodine in the fruits. All right?
Sure.
That's like the corn. Corn, first off, you shouldn't eat just corn anyway. You should eat a mixture of other things because corn has some problems with it. There's certain nutrients that you need to have that corn won't let you get. There was a disease, if I'm pronouncing it right, called pellagra. Basically, your body feels sore all over, and your mental capacity is greatly diminished. All right? So, it'll turn you into a retard is what it'll do. But it's curable. It's curable. Get lots of vitamin B and eat other things like refried beans and
eat beans, American East gas.
Green leafy vegetables and stuff like that. Don't just eat corn. Don't eat just corn chips. Don't eat just cream corn. Don't eat just corn on the cob.
Cream corn.
Yeah.
Oh, cream corn.
Creamed corn,
green corn.
Yeah. And, quite frankly, the world is in danger of such diseases because we're down to 5 staple foods. Yeah, you still eat lettuce and stuff like that, but there's these 5 staple foods, and their main characteristics are they store a long time, they can be turned into powder, and that powder, they can be turned into powders and slurries and stuff like that, and these powders and slurries can be used as thickeners and as flour and basically they can make anything out of any of these 5 staple foods and make it taste like anything they want to. And so you could literally go to the grocery store and buy a dozen different foods off of the shelf, and they could all be made out of corn. They'd all taste different,
They taste like flavored cardboard.
Yeah, they taste like flavored cardboard, but they'd all taste different, and they'd all satisfy a different craving. All right, and it'd all be based on, you know, well, I added a little bit more salt to this, and I cooked it until it was crispy, and we call it a chip. All right, and this one, we made this kind of pudding out of it for those who are intolerant to flour, to wheat flour. You know, if you can't take gluten, we made this gluten alternative out of corn. You know, there's no gluten alternative out of corn. And I don't know for sure that they can do that. I don't know if there's gluten in corn or not, but I mean, you know, I'm just saying. All right? And so, you know, and the reason why we're having these problems is because we can't take gluten and things like that is because we're only eating five staple foods with a few other things.
And they're lacking in nutrients.
And they're lacking in nutrients. That's the other thing I was going to get to. Because they grow massive quantities of corn over and over again on the same field, and soybean, that's one of the other staples. All right, I can name three of them off the top of my head. Potatoes, corn, and soybean. All right, and then there's two others. Wheat, okay, so that's four. All right, so there's a fifth one. I can't name it off the top of my head, but there's five staples, and they all have these same characteristics. They can all be, you know, they can all be served up to us in a form where we would never recognize them for their source. And
like organic canola oil.
Yeah, organic canola oil.
You would never recognize it from its source.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, yeah, that's an ultimate oxymoron. The USDA allows us to label canola oil as organic, even though you can't have an organic genetically modified organism.
Right.
It's
genetically modified from a toxic plant.
All right. Maybe I'm full of hot water, but my research has shown me that canola oil is a genetically modified organism. It's rapeseed oil that's been genetically modified. It wasn't bred to get it to the way it was. It was genetically modified. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it wasn't. But that's the research I've done and I've found. And so I avoid it like a plague, even though every health food store has organic canola oil. So.
Right.
You know.
Well, if the rapeseed was grown organically and then genetically modified, then it would be organic GMO.
No. Because you don't get the gene transfer the way that they transfer them by an organic means.
I know, I'm just playing.
Yeah.
Organic means it's all natural.
Pretty much,
GMO means it's not natural anymore because we modified it.
And because the USDA has glommed onto that organic label and defined it for us, and
it cannot be trusted.
Their definition does not match with what you're thinking of. You know.
Oh yeah. Just like their definition of understand doesn't match your definition of understand.
This is true. This is true. Definitely doesn't match my understanding. Maybe it matches yours, the listener out there, but it doesn't match mine.
Right.
Maybe you're perfectly comfortable with having a definition of understand that doesn't mean to comprehend.
Right.
Anyway.
So anyway, yeah, GMO, organic, certified organic, according to the New World Order, doesn't necessarily mean certified organic.
Yeah, and you can have an organic food that's just as bad as the non-organic because one of the big problems with the non-organic food is the way they're growing it they give it six major nutrients. All right.
Oh,
yeah. You and your garden only give three usually. You give N, P, and K, potassium, nitrogen, and
unless you're a smart gardener.
Yeah, and phosphorus. All right. You give those three major nutrients. Your industrial farmer adds three more to that, and I forget what they are, but there's 97 of them that every plant needs.
Yep. There's 90-some total minerals, vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. 74 or 77 of them are minerals. Three are fatty acids, three are amino acids, and the rest are vitamins.
Right, and your plants need those too. And if your farmer isn't giving them to them, there's only so much your plants can do.
Right, and there's so much they can do for you.
Yeah, and if they can't do what they need to do for themselves, then they're very limited in what they can do for you. Now, I'm not saying, you know, stop eating iceberg lettuce out of the store. At least you'll get a little bit of magnesium out of that when you do that. But it'd be better to...
if you grew it yourself.
Made your own compost heap and went and harvested those weeds out of the field near your home and used that in your compost, because those weeds, they're out there to improve the soil.
Right. Weeds and mushrooms are the first responders.
Yeah, you might as well take advantage of their work and bring it home to your garden and concentrate it.
Yeah.
Concentrate it on your garden and get your garden going good based on their good work. Right?
Right. Don't kill it with poison. You know, like what we were doing with the poison ivy, we dumped it in, or we put it in a bucket, basically drowned it and liquefied it.
Yeah, let it rot down to, well, ultimately I took it out and burned it, but you're not supposed to do that because, you know, the oils from poison ivy will really hurt those who are affected by it.
But we're not affected by it.
We happen to be immune to it.
But the point is, you know, you take them and you break them down. We shoulda, woulda, coulda put other weeds in with it and make a compost soup out of it.
Yeah, ultimately we should have.
And that's what we'll probably do this year.
Frankly, I think the main function of the poison ivy under that oak tree was to stop erosion. And so what we really need to do is we need to replace, when we pull the poison ivy out, we need to replace it with something that does a fine mesh work, you know, of roots. And while I'm not really big on lawns, I think underneath our oak tree we should go out and find a type of grass that loves shade and establish it there and mow it and maintain it and keep it. And maybe I won't mow it to 2 inches, but maybe I'll mow it to 4. So that
right.
It remains healthy.
I'd like to plant steppables,
yeah. Mix that in with the grass. But I don't think mint will stop erosion. It might, but I don't think it'll... You know, we need to, I think the function that the poison ivy was, because the network of roots that it puts underneath everything, it was stopping things from flowing under the tree and leaving. It was stopping things under the tree.
It was basically like a hardwood floor. There were so many of them.
Yeah, and maybe we should leave them along the... east side of the tree, because that's the downhill side, until we've established something else to replace them. But in the meantime, pull up the rest so that our guests can come and enjoy our oak tree. You know.
Yeah. But
anyway.
It probably won't be too hard to find something.
No, there are shade-loving grasses that'll do it. And sure, plant mint in the grass. If I'm only mowing down to 4 inches, guaranteed the mint will survive. You know? And it'll smell good every time I run it over.
Yay!
That's how
I'll be planting. I'll be buying a bushel or whatever, a leaf, every time I come off.
Okay.
We'll plant a patch of it at a time.
Okay. I'm going to save this article. I got an article here about Google.
Google's the evil Google.
Yeah. I read it to you already. I'm going to save
it for you. No, I already know about Google, but go ahead.
Oh, well, okay. I'm just a teaser, an advertisement for tomorrow. I'm going to save it for tomorrow.
Because it's a New World Order topic.
Yeah, it falls under New World Order. But tonight, this is a nutritional subject, okay? Now, if you want to jump ahead and see what I'm talking about, you can go to discordapp.com and look up the David and David channel. And hopefully one of us puts a link to that up on both the Demented Dungeons and Dragons and the ScrapGovScrap site. You know, and it'd be a good way for you people out there who listen to us recorded to still interact with us. You know, I'm not sure how you get an invite, but I can click invite people and put that link up there. And unfortunately, the links they let me put up only last for 24 hours, so I'd have to, if I was to put such a link up, I'd have to post it every 24 hours, which I guess is not really a big deal. But then again, what's the point? If I put it on the site, you'd already have found the site in order to get the invite.
Right. You're bloody well right.
By the way, Kano, you are an administrator on that site.
What site?
On the David and David...
Discord?
Discord, yeah.
Okay.
You are an administrator.
I said I unlocked my profile because I...
You might have to create a new one, and maybe I delete that one, and I make the new one you create an administrator.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And if you don't like purple, you can change your color. So. Did I just lose you? I think I just lost him. All right. So before we went down that rabbit hole, I ran across, we lost him. I ran across a supplement for people who have diabetes, and it had a lot of natural ingredients in it. And so as you can see, I go down lots of rabbit holes. So in my researching how to acquire some of these nutrients on my own, one of the chemicals, and I'm ignorant, I admit it, I got to do some more research on this and see how it helps diabetics and such, but there's a chemical, ALA, that can be found in a number of vegetables. I think spinach is real high in it, but also beef kidneys and beef heart is high in ALA, apparently, according to the study I was looking at. And I know most people don't think about eating goat, but I raise goats, and so I decided to see if anybody had done a study on how much ALA is in goat meat, you know, per weight of goat meat, how much ALA is in it. And I didn't exactly find that, but one curious thing I ran across, and it makes sense, all right, goats themselves are high in the vitamin Bs. Now, I don't know if their meat is high in the vitamin Bs, but apparently goats either acquire or manufacture their own vitamin B in great quantities, and it explains why they're so obnoxious. Because vitamin B does a number of things for us, all right? And one of them is it helps stabilize your moods and improves your mind, okay? And so while people may say that damn stupid goat, why does it keep getting out? Well, it isn't getting out because it's stupid. It's actually pretty smart. Now, it may not have figured out that the reason why it's being kept in is to keep it safe, but the fact that it's able to figure out how to get out of just about any enclosed area is an indication of how smart the damn thing is. And the vitamin B could be an explanation. And another thing is, very rarely do you ever see a fat goat, right? They may have a lot of food in their stomach and their sides may be sticking out, but goat meat is very lean, has very little fat on it. Well, another thing that vitamin B does for you is it helps burn fat. It helps you process your energy. It helps you burn your sugars, helps you burn your fat, helps you burn your oils, you know, things like that. It helps you burn your carbohydrates, all right? And it's involved, you know, there's various types of vitamin B, and they're all involved in brain activity and in fat burning, in energy production, and then, you know, energy usage, all right? And so it kind of makes sense that goats are lean because they burn all their fat off because they're good at it, because they're good at acquiring vitamin B. Now, I don't know how they acquire the vitamin B. I know I said that already, but I'm just repeating it to make it clear that I don't know everything. All right. I need to do some more research and find out, you know, are they manufacturing their own vitamin B? What vitamin B is it? You know, if they're high in niacin. You know, that'd be great. You know, you're crazy, eat goat. Then you'll stop being crazy. We might call you crazy after that, but you'll be perfectly sane. Anyway, so I thought that was an interesting rabbit trail. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, while I was looking that up, one of the other things that they put into their herbal supplement for diabetics was mulberry leaf extract. All right. Well, you don't need to buy their extract. Just grow a mulberry tree. Enjoy the fruit when it's on there. But harvest the leaves. Dry them out. Turn them into powder or just crinkle them a bit and make a tea out of them. And you'll get that mulberry leaf extract from your own sourced mulberry leaves. And you'll know how they're treated.
What's that good for?
For diabetics. I ran across, I should have bookmarked it too. I didn't, but I hope I can go through my history and find it, my browser history, and find it again. There is a herbal supplement for diabetics, and you know me, I can't see spending $100 for a bottle of pills when I could spend that same $100 on buying a couple of mulberry trees?
True.
You know, wouldn't the mulberry leaves, you know, chewed up in
and
my own
mouth? And if you're worried about the birds eating the berries pooping on your car, buy the white one.
Well, but the purple ones might have more antioxidants in them.
True.
You know?
But yeah, a lot of people are putting the white ones in the city because of the birds pooping on people's cars, staining
right?
their cars.
And if you can get a hold of a silkworm, the white ones are the ones that they feed to silkworms. So.
I'm sorry, what?
Silkworms. Silkworms eat the white ones.
The white ones?
They eat the leaves off the white mulberry.
Oh, okay.
They prefer the white mulberry over the purple mulberry. I'm sure they can live on the purple ones, but they prefer the white.
So white for something that the other one's not offering.
And this is true. There's probably some nutrient in the white ones that the purple ones don't have. Or maybe there's something that's not tasty to the silkworms in the purple ones. You know?
Right.
So, but anyway, yeah, there was a supplement I ran across, and I was breaking it down, and I was looking for the stuff. And since it didn't really mention what was in mulberry that was good for diabetics, but it just, you know, it was a straightforward herb, whatever. That was easy. Just go buy a mulberry tree, and I've got that one covered. I know to make a tea out of the leaves. A side note, though, I would say in the spring, do not eat mulberry leaves raw unless you're prepared to get high.
I've never experienced that, but David apparently has.
Well, I read it. Are you?
Oh, okay.
You know, I read it. Okay. So, you know, granted, I could be so messed up in the head that, you know, maybe you're so messed up in the head you just didn't notice that you got high because you're already messed up. So
I'm all messed up. Oh, oh,
yeah.
Hey, we're all messed up.
I'm such a dummy. Somebody was asking me about depression and what to do about it, and I should have told them niacin. And if you can't handle niacin, niacinamide.
Actually, you should probably take both. Because one's B6 and the other's B3.
Okay. I'm not sure that's true. I'll look it up and verify, but okay.
Yeah,
If they are different Bs, then yeah, you should take both. But okay. I know my mom. I've been on Ritalin for about a week when I was a kid. Some doctor told my mom the reason why I was hyperactive is because I didn't have enough Ritalin in my body. And as soon as my grandmother found out, she told my mom in no uncertain terms that she should get me off of Ritalin immediately.
All right. Right now.
Yeah. And so I was only on it for a week. All right. But
my brother was on it, just running into walls and furniture and almost busted his head open because he ran into the corner of the car.
Now, is that why they put him on Ritalin, or was that the result of the Ritalin?
That's why my mom took him off of Ritalin.
Oh, okay. So that was the results of the Ritalin.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, it's that kind of behavior that they use for the excuse for why they put you on Ritalin. So what you're telling me is Ritalin causes the symptoms for which they're trying to prevent.
Maybe for some people. Basically, these antipsychotic or whatever mental problem pharmaceuticals they're basically making you brain dead.
Yeah, well, Anyway, I don't know if it was my grandmother or somebody. Somebody apparently told my mom about the wonders of niacin. And so she was giving me 6 to 8 tablets of niacin every morning and every evening. And, well, up in Wisconsin, middle of winter, 3 foot of snow, I'd be the only kid standing there at minus whatever, holding my jacket in my hand, wearing a t-shirt, while the rest of them were huddled around me shivering. Because I was a little furnace. And I'm sure I was beat red. Because she'd give it to me just before I left for school, and it was going out and waiting for the school bus.
Yeah, I only take medicine in the winter.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, there's rules for taking certain vitamins. All right, and as far as I know, it's not really possible to overdose on any vitamin, but you know when you've had enough when you get certain indications. And so like with vitamin C, it's called bowel tolerance. When your bowels start to churn, not necessarily you got the runs, but when you start to feel that sensation in your bowels that everything is kind of getting loose, you've gotten enough vitamin C, all right? And that amount goes up and down from day to day, depending on what you've been exposed to, depending on how much sleep you've gotten, depending on how much stress you've gone through, all right? You know, if you go through a lot of stress, you'll eat up your vitamin C in a hurry, and you probably need some more. As a matter of fact, if you go through a stressful situation, one of the things you'd probably do is pop some niacin and some vitamin C at the same time, all right? Okay, well, so the indication on niacin is that prickly sensation in your skin and the heat, all right? Now, depending on what you're trying to accomplish, you might want to blow right on through that and get full-bore hot flash, you know? Maybe, you know, there's some people actually, they want to do that because the mental condition is worse than the hot flash, okay?
Or they're cold.
Or they're cold, all right? I do know that you can get pretty sick to your stomach and feel pretty miserable if you take too much niacin. I've done that. But it by no means is it life-threatening. It's just uncomfortable. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, if you take too much vitamin C, the worst that's going to happen is you run to the toilet every half hour.
Yeah, like I did.
Yeah, you care to tell people how you managed to overdose on it?
Yes, foraging and eating rose hips.
Rose hips?
I ate too many of them.
You ate, about a handful?
Pretty much.
Two hands? Yeah.
I don't remember. It was a lot. Yeah, it's equivalent to one or two handfuls.
Yeah, and... Let me guess. Now, were these the wild rose hips that you brought me that were about the size of, cranberries?
No, they were the wild ones that are the size of a BB.
A little bit bigger than a BB.
A pellet, okay. Or a pellet gun.
Yeah, a little bit bigger than a BB, all right? There's been studies done on these things. These things about the size of a BB, three of them, is equal to all the orange that you get out of an orange, all the vitamin C that you get out of an orange from the store. Now, granted,
yeah,
there's not really a whole lot of vitamin C in those oranges, but...
Yeah, it depends on the orange.
Yeah. But I
always tell people the little rose hips have about the same amount of vitamin C as the little orange. You know, the big oranges, but the little... one. And
okay.
The big rose hips have the vitamin C of a bigger orange. So,
right.
You know, you can get all that vitamin C packed in this little itty-bitty pouch.
Yeah, a thimbleful will give you all the vitamin C you could possibly need. and probably the squirts to go with it if you're healthy.
Yeah, maybe a little more, but yeah, no more than a shot glass.
Yeah, it's up and down. Up and down.
No more than a shot glass.
Yeah, so
unless you're really bad off, I mean, if you're bedridden, you might need, you know, a handful
or two.
Yeah,
you know, it's good to make a dose on vitamin C when you're sick. You know,
I'm sorry for the person that has to clean up for you.
Well, if you're really
sick,
if you're really sick, it's going to take an awful lot of vitamin C to give you diarrhea.
True that.
All right. And
I know. I took up to 30,000 milligrams when I took the pharmaceutical grade vitamin C capsule.
Yeah.
I think I took at least 10,000 milligrams, but I think I took closer to 30 before I started feeling bowel tolerance.
Right, and you feel it. I mean, and if you do it on a regular basis, you begin to learn, okay, yeah, my stomach is about to churn. My bowels are about to churn. It's time to back off. I've taken in enough vitamin C for today.
Yeah, and the more you take, the less you need to take. So it's like when I first started out, I was taking, like I said, over 10,000 milligrams. And after a while, I started noticing that my body wasn't, my stools were starting to get soft and whatnot. So I backed up to like 9,000 milligrams. And then back off to 8,000 milligrams, so on and so forth. And I ended up settling between 3 and 5,000 eventually when I was taking it every day religiously.
Yeah. Yeah, it's,
Now,
yeah.
The RDA for...
The RDA is going to be the minimum that it takes to keep you from having serious problems. But it's not the minimum you need to be healthy. Did I lose you? I think I lost him again. This time I didn't hear a click. But I heard that. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm running out of material. Oh, well, I'm doing pretty good. That's about an hour. Folks, please call in. Talk to us. At the very least, get on our site and make comments. Maybe come on, you'll find me on the Discord channel easier than any place else. Hop on there. My phone number's on there. Call up and give me a call. Give me some feedback. Give me some stuff to talk about. If you find it interesting, maybe I'll find it interesting. Okay. The early church of Jesus. The law of God. All right. Now, I don't walk up to all my Christian friends and say this right to their face. Maybe I should be more brave. But just because somebody handed me a little black book that consists of 66 smaller books that in its words claims to be the word of God, I don't automatically assume that that's the word of God. And, having found out that there's some serious translation difficulties with the King James version of the Bible, that a lot of Christians, is like, oh, King James, it's the perfect word of God in English. It was an inspired translation. It's like, well, yeah, then how come it says Easter? And I've even heard arguments for why it should actually say Easter there instead of Passover, where it says it. And it's like, but they use the same word as Passover for that one word. So why are you justifying them in translating it to be, I mean, if it doesn't mean Passover, that's fine. Then don't use the word Passover anywhere. Use some other word that gives the appropriate meaning. But I'm pretty sure it means Passover, especially since it sounds so close to that word anyway. I don't know. Well, you know, it was in a different language anyway. Sometimes words do sound similar, even though they're not necessarily the same meaning. But all the same. But clearly this guy, Thomas Jefferson, he's going off of Scripture. And his understanding of Scripture tells him that Paul had heretic teachings. So maybe I read some of this. Okay. I don't know for sure that this was written by Thomas Jefferson. I just know that this website, this earlychurchofjesuschrist.org/false_paul.htm, they claim that Thomas Jefferson wrote this stuff, and then they added links and stuff around it. Ah, here's Kano. Maybe we can go back to... Well, Kano, you had an exciting subject. Did you want to save it for the political podcast?
It's not political.
It's not political. Yeah.
It could be political, but it's not political.
Okay, I just wanted to check. I didn't think it was political per se. Truth is, everything's political, but, you know, you got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, before we go there real quick,
okay.
What I was trying to say when I dropped off was the RDA is almost a decade old. It has not been updated since like the 30s, the 40s, maybe the 50s at the latest. So the RDA was created when our soil was healthier.
Yeah, that's true, and we were getting more nutrients.
Right. So I tell people you need to add at least a zero, if not two zeros, to whatever number is on the RDA. So if
yeah.
it says 100 milligrams, you need 1,000 or 10,000.
Just
start
an
with
example
1,000.
Of the nutrient. Yeah, just as an example of the nutrient deficiency, used to be as little as a century ago, you could feed pigs nothing but wheat. You know, if you harvested wheat grain from the field, you could feed your pigs nothing but wheat. They'd be perfectly happy. They'd be perfectly healthy. You know.
Oh.
It would
I'm
be
sorry, my bad. I said it's a decade old. I meant a century.
Is it a century? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because yeah. it hasn't been updated since maybe the 50s at the latest. Well, we're already in the 20s.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's about three-quarters of a... There you go. Anyway, so, yeah, so as little as a century ago, we could feed straight wheat grain to pigs, and they'd be perfectly healthy. If you try that today, your pigs will starve to death. Their
right.
stomachs will be full, but they will starve to death. They will literally drop dead eating nothing but wheat. That wheat has to be supplemented with things like molasses and vitamins and, you know, other nutrient support.
We just feed ours wheat.
Yeah. We do feed ours grain, but it does have things like molasses and stuff like that in it. And it's
oh, yeah, that's a supplemental. Yeah, it's more of a treat. to keep them domesticated.
Oh, hey, guess what? That 255-gallon tank that you made sure you filled up before you left? I think the reason
water?
Why it was... Yeah, I think the reason why it was empty premature is the same reason why it's empty now.
Oh, it's got a leak.
It's apparently got a leak. I don't know where the leak is, but it was bone dry empty. I'm glad I got that other one and a couple of buckets. But
there you go.
I'm taking about, every time I go there, I take about 10 gallons of water over to them. But that means I can only pull that off about 25 times before I'm out of water.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I won't be back for a whole another month.
Well, yep.
But you can put a tote in the back of that pickup truck.
I don't know if you can handle that much.
Well, you don't have to fill it full. But, you know, you can fill it as full as you think it'll handle.
I can put a 55-gallon drum in the back. It just means I'd have to make more trips. But
right.
That's fine. I plan on being here once a week anyway.
There you go.
Yeah.
And hopefully next month we'll have water!
Yay!
Or
yeah, I didn't get a chance to go to Amish land to do research, but I'm gonna look online and see about windmills pumping water.
There you go.
And
there you go.
Yeah, we'll just look it up that way. And you know?
Yeah, and our neighbors already got some cattle on his property.
Ah. So you've been in communication. Very good. So what do you get?
Don't know. That's all he said.
Ah, he didn't tell you whether it was longhorns or not.
Oh, they're not longhorns. I pretty much can guarantee that.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's hurting for money now, too.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
He just got something to put on there to eat the grass.
There you go. Yep. Recycle the grass. Turn it into good soil.
Right.
You know.
So I told him once I drill for water, we'll start working on pond reconstruction so that we can have water for our livestock, his and ours.
Yep. You know, and it would be nice to get a hold of the neighbor between us because he has a working pond. And he might want to run livestock, too. You know.
There you go.
So
the neighbor between us?
Yeah, between Jeff's driveway and our property.
Oh, okay. Military guy.
Yeah, military guy. Which, I'm jealous. Jeff and Leia have met.
Yeah, they got lucky. So, the topic for this evening.
All right.
I'm not even sure where to start. Oh, yeah, I do. It's not illegal to consume cats and dogs in the U.S. It's illegal to sell them for meat, and it's illegal to sell them for human consumption.
Right.
But it's not illegal.
I can sell you a cat, and I can sell you a dog. I can even sell you a cat or a dog that was specifically raised to make it tastier. But I'd have to sell it to you as a pet or as a
Correct.
Working animal. All right?
Correct. And
now,
what you do with it is your business.
Yeah, if you took it home and butchered it, that's your business. And quite frankly, I'm not going to raise an animal for the purpose of eating. Not a cat or a dog. So
no.
If you buy a cat or a dog for that purpose, please do not tell me.
Yeah, we don't want to know.
I do not want to know.
Especially the cats, because we are cat lovers.
Well, actually, maybe I do want to know, because I don't want to eat at your house.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I don't want to eat at your house. Okay?
Tastes like, I love cats. Tastes like chicken.
Yeah. Kano will eat pepperoni pizza every once in a while. I do not eat any pork. All right. Let's see. Now, I probably should have put a link to that video on the Discord channel, but I didn't. I only watched about 4 minutes of it. Unless she went on to something other than butcher shops.
Oh, she did. I watched the whole thing.
Okay, I didn't. I she was still in the butcher shop, and she
that was hard to handle.
It was no more hard for me to handle watching that than if I watched somebody butchering a pig.
Well, that's hard for me too.
All right. Quite frankly,
I can't even watch somebody butcher a fish.
It's hard for me butchering a goat. All right. But I'll eat goat. All right. But
it's hard for you for a different reason. They're like pets for you. But
sort of. their purpose is for meat and for milk and whatever. You know, they're for sustenance
right.
and what they're for.
But you don't have a weak stomach like I do.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anyway, they are very pet-like. I care for them. All right. And I'd like to give them the best conditions I can. And I'll say this. I'm not going to butcher the whole herd when there's no reason to butcher the whole herd.
Right.
If I'm going to eat a goat, then I'm only going to butcher a goat. And, you know, if you buy a goat from me, then you bought the goat and you can butcher it. Or you can take it to a licensed butcher and get it butchered. Okay.
Or you can keep it as a pet.
Or you can keep it as a pet, or you can use it as a working animal. That's the other reason I got these, is as working animals. They're supposed to do some work. Okay. All right. You know, basically soil management. Putting micronutrients into the soil. So that your plants grow better. So you got better goats. It's a round cycle.
That organic composting machine.
Yep. Yep, there you go. And, you know, sadly, the only time I've milked them, I milked them 1 year because they ate too many acorns. And it turned their milk into glue. And that had to be milked out of them. Unfortunately, it meant that the kids died because they couldn't suck the milk. I'm sure the goats were not too comfortable about the fact that I was squeezing this Elmer's glue out of them. And actually, it was thicker than that. It literally would set up into cheese before it hit the bottom of the container that I was milking them into. It'd come out as goo, white goo, and it would set up.
What did
up.
It taste like?
It actually didn't taste bad, but I wasn't sure if it was mastitis or whatever. I did some research, and I came to the conclusion, no, it was not mastitis. They didn't have fevers. They did have hardening of the udders, I ultimately came to the conclusion it wasn't mastitis. When I successfully milked all the stuff out of them, their udders did soften back up. All right. And, you know, anyway. And then the other time I milked them is when I had some puppies over here, but that's another sad story. Anyway.
Right.
But I milked them for the sake of the puppies.
So, yeah, I mean, we do raise most of our animals that we will be raising on our land are going to be for food consumption, but
yeah.
They are also like pets. You know, we love them, we care for them, we treat them very well, even though we know they're potentially going to be food. And they're also pet organic composting machines.
Oh, so, most definitely.
All the animals are pet organic composting machines, even our cats.
Yeah, and they're also supposed to be rodent control.
Yeah, which they kind of sort of do a good job at. But
sort of.
Sort of. Some of them are better than others.
Yep.
But, so every animal will have its purpose besides food. Some of them may not be food, like dogs and cats and pigs. But, pretty much the rest of what we're going to have, well, except for maybe what we're going to have in the pond, the certain animals or water creatures that we're going to have in the ponds are going to be for pond improvement. You know, water improvement.
Right.
Yeah. So the bottom feeders that are going to be in our ponds, we won't be eating them, but they'll be keeping the ponds clean. And the fish that we have in there will be edible. And kosher. But, yeah. So, the moral of the topic is a friend of ours, if you want to call her a friend of ours, was all up in an uproar over this dog eating festival in China. Still with me?
Yeah, say that again.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I dropped off.
I'm not sure I understood.
Okay. Basically, she found out from this guy on this dating site about the dog eating festival in China.
Okay.
Which is the premise of that video that I shared with you.
Oh, the girl that was in the video.
No. Crapper found out about this dog eating festival and went off the deep end about it. Well, this guy that told her about it, apparently he was honest about it, but she just believed him without doing her homework. Well, I never heard of it. And, he was honest to a degree. He said that basically during this dog eating festival, they're very cruel to dogs. They cook them while they're still alive. And, you know, they put them in boiling water while they're still alive, basically like we do frogs and lobsters. They cook the dogs the same way. And she was just all in an uproar about it. And I was like, well, did you do your own homework? No. I feel like he was being honest, and so I believed him. I was like, well, I call bullshit. And she got pissed off at me because I didn't believe her 100% because she didn't do her homework. She just believed this guy 100% without doing her homework. I was like, nah,
right.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, that's not a logical argument.
Right. And she got pissed off at me and hung up on me. So I went and did my homework. Now, I didn't find any evidence of such cruelty. Now, of course, unethical vegans say that all meat eaters are cruel.
Right.
I can't say that around them. But yeah, unethical vegans.
So cats are cruel.
Yeah.
All cats are cruel.
Meat eaters.
Because they're meat eaters. Yep.
But yeah, so they give them the exception to the rule. Animals are exempt from the hate rule. They're animal lovers, so they exempt the animals from their hate rule. And they hate humans who eat animals. And that's why I call them unethical vegans. But anyway, they're just not very ethical about their ethics.
Yeah, well, there are some animals that would not survive if it weren't for the fact that we ate them.
So, well, perhaps.
The modern sheep.
Modern sheep.
The modern sheep would not survive.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you turned them loose, yeah, maybe some of them would, but a lot of them would suffer. They actually live a lot better with us tending them.
And they would get eaten by wild animals, so either way they're going to get eaten,
but what we do is we make their conditions before they get ate much more pleasurable.
Hospitable. There you go. Oh, yeah, at least three of them love us. They all pretty much love their environment. I mean, we can't communicate with them. We don't speak goat, but they seem pretty happy. The only one that doesn't seem happy is little Piglet, because she keeps trying to wander off and do her own thing and make up her own rules.
Right, and for her safety, we can't let her go wandering far afield.
Right, but the rest of them, they're content. They like their environment. We let the goats out, even the male pig, he's never really wandered off on his own. He usually follows Piglet, but she's the one who wanders off, and of course then he'll wander off with her. But I've never caught him misbehaving. He pretty much is content. He stays nearby and stuff like that, three of our goats will actually let you pet them. They're very docile. Well, Bonehead not so much, but she's coming around.
You pet her more than I have.
Yeah, the other two, especially Chocolate, she likes to be, she likes attention. Not in the morning when you let them loose. They're like, oh, don't touch me. I'm going to eat now. and you get anywhere near them and they run. But in the afternoon...
Yeah, because they're afraid you're going to put them back.
Yeah. But in the afternoon and the evening, they're all like, hey, pay attention to me. Especially if you got food.
About 2 hours after I turn them loose, I find they usually have come back. Usually an hour after I've turned them loose, they've come back.
Yeah, about that time, at least Chocolate will let you pet her. And then shortly thereafter, then Cleopatra will. But Bonehead, just all depends. Usually it's in the evening when I get a chance to pet her. But not anytime sooner.
Yep.
But yeah, so they like us. They like their environment. They come home every day. We let them out in the morning. They don't wander very far, and they come back every afternoon. Sometimes two or three times a day. They stay close to home. So they're pets. But we know they don't know so much. We know full well that they're going to be potentially food. But right now, we don't have enough of them. So
no.
We use them. They're all pets and compost, pet organic composting machines. But once we start getting a gluttony of them, then we'll be starting to sell them for food and whatnot. But
when we start approaching the amount that the land can support, then right. Yeah, we'll start culling some off and selling them for profit. And, you know, some of those will go for pets. But,
right.
You know, probably the majority of them, because these are smaller goats. Most people don't think about eating these, but they're more convenient. You know, they're more compact size.
Right.
It'd take three of these goats.
Better.
Yeah, it'd take three of these to equal a regular sized goat. So.
And our cows are going to be the same way. We're going to get the miniature cows for our property anyway.
Can you get the Dexters? Yeah, and, you know, maybe eventually those miniature deer. There's two breeds of miniature deer that I'm interested in. I actually am more interested in the larger of the two.
Oh, the monk jack.
Well, they're both monk jacks, but one's the leaf deer, which is smaller. And then they're, yeah.
The one that's in danger. The one that's endangered is not a monk jack, it's a poodoo.
A poodoo. Well, I know both the leaf deer and the other one that we're looking at, they're actually raised here in America. We can get them from farms where they've been raised.
I'm not familiar with the other one. I'm just familiar with the monk jack. The one with the fangs?
Yeah, they both have fangs.
Okay.
The leaf deer is just a smaller variety.
I thought the leaf deer is just a general terminology for the small deers, because even the poodoos referred to as the leaf deer.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know that there's the smallest breed of monk jack is often referred to as being the leaf deer. I didn't know that, you know.
Oh. Okay. Well, yeah, they probably bred them down to miniature size. They probably have regular size monk jacks, which are the size of a medium sized poodle, maybe a little bigger, and then about the size of a miniature goat or a little smaller, and then a poodoo is about the size of like a miniature poodle to a teacup poodle.
Yeah, not much bigger than a good-sized rabbit.
Basically, yeah.
It would fit bigger than a cat. The whole deer would fit in your roasting pan very nicely.
Yeah. Nope, just like a cat.
Yeah, except it's kosher.
Well, yeah, but my point is, you know, in other countries, they eat other animals that we don't find appealing or appetizing,
right,
or kosher, you know. In China, they've been eating cats and dogs for years. I mean, my whole life I've known that they eat cats and dogs in China. It's like,
hey, there's places where they eat monkey.
Yeah, monkey brains and other monkey parts.
Well, yeah, there's been explorers that thought that the villagers that they came across were cannibals because they were eating small legs and arms. They thought they were eating their own babies. Until they found out they're catching the local monkeys and eating them.
Right. I mean, there's people that eat possum. Of all things.
We got a friend who does that.
Right. I mean,
now that actually grosses me out.
Yeah.
Not because I have any great feeling for possums, but because I'm familiar with what a possum looks like and lives like. And it's like, I think I'd rather eat a rat.
Right.
I don't want to eat a rat.
My diet, or my dietary habits, if you will, my lifestyle, whatever you want to call it, is based on what is healthy and what is not. Now, I don't eat cats and dogs because I see them as pets and I see that as gross. However, when I was younger, one of my favorite restaurants got shut down 3 times because they served cat and dog. They got busted. And I liked it. So, you know,
well,
I didn't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the 4 minutes that I watched of that documentary, and I'll watch more of it now that you say that she's not just in the butcher shop. But, I mean, from her demeanor, I assume she's one of the ethical vegans, or as you put it, the unethical vegans.
Well, no, because she ended up eating the dog later.
Okay, so she tested it.
Yeah. She's just Americanized.
Right, okay.
Okay,
so she wasn't a vegan doing this.
No. She just thought it was creepy. But, you know, it's part of her culture.
Right.
So, you know, if she wanted to do a non-hate perspective for their company, because their company does a lot of videos like that. They go out and do homework, you know, like the media,
She was doing a good job of her interview. You could tell that she was a little taken back by it, but when she asked questions, it wasn't like...
It wasn't like she's
looking at her nose. Why are you so gross? She wasn't acting like that. She was like, well, how many dogs do you sell a day? Oh, I've lost count.
Yeah. Right. She was trying to be neutral.
Yeah, and she was doing a good job of it.
Right.
You know.
So she ultimately ended up sitting down with a family. I don't know if it was her family or not, but she ended up sitting down with a family and ended up having dog for dinner.
Ew.
Yeah.
I'll never date that girl.
I know, right? But I mean, like I said, you know, I used to eat at this Chinese restaurant, and I used to love this restaurant. And later found out that they got shut down 3 times because they were serving cat and dog. You know, so I was potentially, I think I was actually, eating cat and dog.
Yeah, and you thought it was chicken or pork.
Or beef. Or whatever. I don't know what I thought. I just was like, yeah, that's good stuff. Little did I know, I was eating Rover and Fluffy.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
I'm sure after you found out, you probably showed up and said, yeah, can I have some more chow chow?
No, I didn't go back because they were shut down, but they shut them down for good the third time. But yeah, I mean, that was the learning experience. I mean, I didn't know beforehand, but I knew after. And I was like, well, shoot, that wasn't that bad. And so I didn't see it as being such a gross thing. I still love my animals, my pets, and I would never go out of my... Well, I don't know if I would never do it, but I don't think that I would ever go out of my way to eat a cat or a dog. But a cat or a dog is way healthier than a possum.
I don't know.
Well, I think so. That's my opinion. But you know what they say about opinions? They're like rear ends, and most of them stink. Except for mine. Mine smells like rainbows.
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
Pop-Tarts!
Yeah. But I mean, so my diet is based on what is healthy and what is not. And
okay, you were fading out there for a little bit. You might want to repeat that last bit.
My diet is healthy and what is not. And so I see healthier than, say, maybe possum. But I still would not go out of my way to go and eat a cat or a dog. Because I love cats. Maybe not so much dogs. It depends on the dog. But still, I mean, I see them as pests. I would not eat them. Them I am. But in other countries, it's different. You know, what is it? India, they worship cows.
Yeah, and they won't eat them.
Right. But here we do. So
yeah, you want to freak them out? You go kill a cow and roast it. Oh, they would freak out.
Especially if you was in their country.
Yeah, that would probably be a
hanging right there.
But then again, I had a Indian friend when I was living in Vallejo that every once in a while he'd send me down to Berkeley because he didn't have time to go himself. He'd give me gas money and he'd give me grocery money. And he'd eat beef, but he loved goat meat. And he knew this place that had ground goat meat. And so I'd make the run.
Well, goats weren't gods.
Well, yeah, but he'd eat both. But, you know, every once in a while he'd have me buy some ground burger, but he preferred the goat meat. And that same place that did ground chicken, I found out that ground chicken mixed with goat meat makes for a very juicy and tasty burger.
Beef and lamb is really good together, too. That's how the Middle Easterns mix the beef and lamb together.
And you know what we need to do? We need to get all the fencing up so that next time we have an opportunity to buy some lambs, we can do it. Because TJ has five going really cheap.
Yep.
And
five for five.
Yeah. Jerry tried to make a deal with PJ where he could buy them mostly on credit and tried to talk them down in price. And it's like, even I know $100 per sheep, that's really low.
Right.
That's way below market. You know?
Yeah, too bad we didn't have that second goat yard done already.
Well, really, we should have the whole thing fenced off and start fencing off the parts that where we don't want animals to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'd be nice to be able to turn them loose and really not worry about them.
Right. So. Especially the pigs. Well, and the sheep once we get them. The goats are well behaved, but the rest of the animals, we don't know.
Yep.
And then again, the goats are only well behaved for two reasons. We don't have a goat who's unruly and wants to go run off like little Piglet does and explore the whole county. And also, you know, we got what they want on our land. They're content. They're happy.
Yep.
Even Mr. Dini.
Yep.
Who's no longer the alpha.
I hear you. Nope, I don't hear you. Kano is no longer in the building. Yeah, well, I guess that concludes the DD&D podcast for today. DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Please look at our website. At the top of the website, there's the phone number for how you can call in and participate in the program. Anyway, we look forward to hearing from you. Tomorrow we have another podcast, the Scrap Dev Scrap podcast. It's starts at 7 Central Time. This podcast every Saturday at 9 p.m. Central Time also. Anyway, I look forward to hearing from you. Any texts or comments you send, be more than glad to hear. Good night, all.